Do please be seated. And do please pick up your Bibles and turn to page 1196. And I'm going to start reading from chapter 3, verse 16. So we're looking at one of the second priorities that we have as a church. Last week it was prayer. This week it is proclamation. The good news of Jesus Christ going to those who have not heard it. And for us, week by week, sitting under the preaching of God's word. But I'll start reading at chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is God-breathed. And useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. For I'm already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, let's pray together, shall we, for God's help as we come to his word. Let's pray. Father, we've just sung that you are God the first and God the last. Please enlarge our vision of who you are and how you speak to us through your word, the Bible, by the power of your Holy Spirit, for the glory of your Son, Jesus Christ. So we pray, Lord, that you would help each of us. Help me in my weakness as I preach. Help each of us in our weakness as we listen. And help us to grow in our knowledge and love of that God who is the first and the last. Amen. Well, why listen to the preaching of the Bible? I mean, isn't it outdated? We now know that literacy levels nationally are falling. People are far more used to visual images, aren't they? Whether it's TV or iPads or iPhones or games and Xboxes, you name it. And doesn't science tell us that people learn far more by visual stimuli combined with action, far more than they do by just listening? And doesn't philosophy tell us that books are not objective sources of knowledge? There is no such thing as authorial intent. It is what the book that means to me that matters. And after all, people choose their entertainment, don't they? They don't sit still and listen for long periods of time anymore. They channel hop. They can't even stay on the same channel for more than a few minutes. Films on demand, YouTube clips downloaded. Our attention span surely is dropping way under 10 minutes. So why preach the Bible for longer than that? It's outdated. A minister known for his lengthy sermons noticed a man get up and leave during the middle of his message. The man returned just before the conclusion of the service. Afterwards, the minister asked the man where he'd gone. "I went to get a haircut," was the reply. But, said the minister, why didn't you do that before the service? Because, the gentleman said, I didn't need one then. Today we're considering a priority of proclamation as a church, the preaching of the Bible, but there are many aspects to our society which would undermine our confidence in doing that. I've just listed them. So why preach the Bible? See, Paul is writing to Timothy, who accompanied him in bringing the good news of Jesus Christ so that thousands of people became Christians. And Paul is drawing to the end of his life. Have a look at verse 6. The time has come for my departure, he says to Timothy. This is a bit like Paul's dying words, his last will and testament, his passing on the baton from that apostolic generation to the next generation of Christian leaders. And he gives a command to Timothy, as if with his dying breath, preach the word. Preach the word. Now, it's worth understanding what those words actually mean. See, the word translated preach means not just speak, tell people, means this: proclaim after the manner of a herald, always with the suggestion of formality, gravity, authority, which must be listened to and obeyed. You see, the New Testament has a wealth of words that are translated in our English versions, preach, but there's lots and lots of different ones. This word is the word that a herald of a king would do. Preach with authority. A word to be obeyed. Now, other words are translated preach, like, for example, when the early church was persecuted and people are scattered, and our English versions say they preached the word wherever they went. Well, the original word actually is they good newsed the word wherever they went. So there's lots of different words, some which emphasize how, as all Christians together, we are to speak about Jesus to people. But this word here means authoritatively declare, with the authority of the king. But what is Timothy to preach? Well, he says, preach the word. But we might be thinking, but is this what Jesus did? Did Jesus preach? I mean, was Jesus a preacher? Did he think that was important? Well, we just had read in our first reading, Jesus had been healing everybody in a town. They'd brought many to him and he'd cast out demons and he'd healed them. But then the following morning he goes out to pray. And his disciples wonder where he's gone. Why has he left this village with all these sick people? And everyone was looking for him. And when they found him, they exclaimed, everyone is looking for you. Jesus replied, let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. Same word. That is why I've come. Now, there's much in the news of late, isn't there? The NHS is under huge pressure. Hospitals are overloaded. Perhaps some of us have been experiencing the pressure on hospitals this week. Operations have been cancelled. Imagine someone had the power to go down to Colchester A&E and end all the queues in a day. Just heal everybody. Well, of course everybody would be coming back the next day, wouldn't they? But Jesus then prays and he leaves the area saying there is something more important for him to do. What was that? To preach. Maybe in Boxted or Nayland. He left the people on the trolleys, still sick, because there was something more important for him to do. Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come. And I have to confess, I've been challenged by that this week. I don't see preaching as that important. I mean, I do see it as important, but not that important. Not as important as Jesus saw his preaching. Now, of course, no one can preach like Jesus preached. but he commands his church leaders through Paul, Timothy, all who follow in his footsteps with great authority to preach the word. To preach the word. To preach the message. Now, Timothy had learnt this message from Paul, recorded for us in Paul's letters. And I just want us to show us this, that Paul's letters have the same authority as the Ten Commandments. So if you'd like to keep a finger in 2 Timothy, and let's have a look at 2 Peter chapter 3. You'll find it 1224, page 1224. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 16. Because Paul has said that Timothy is to preach the word, the message, and that is both the Old Testament and the message that Paul had taught Timothy, which wasn't just Paul's musings and thoughts, it was scripture. Paul's gospel has the same authority as the Ten Commandments. Have a look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 16. His, that's Paul's letters, contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures. Do you see that? The other scriptures to their own destruction. Peter is saying that Paul's letters have the same authority as the rest of the Old Testament, the whole scriptures. So Timothy was to preach the Bible. Now we're on to our first point. Now I hope the points that you have on your sheets will be helpful. Why was Timothy to preach the word, or what was he to preach? He was to preach the Bible because all scripture is God-breathed. The New Testament as well as the Old. Have a look at chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is God-breathed. What does that mean? What does it mean for the words that you are reading this morning, that we're looking at this morning, to be God-breathed? What does that mean? Well, like our words are carried on our breath, our spirit, so God's words are carried on his spirit, and they're breathed out onto the pages of the Bible. These are no ordinary words. It's so easy to come to these words and think these are just like any other words, isn't it? But no. The Bible is clear that God's word, the Bible, is God-breathed. It is alive. It is living. It is active. So when Timothy, the man of God, the preacher, reads them, what happens? Well, the Bible teaches him, verse 16, and rebukes him and corrects him and trains him. Like a parent might rebuke a child, so the Bible rebukes the Bible teacher. Like a coach might encourage someone in training, the Bible encourages the Bible teacher, or the All Saints Club leader, or the parent. This is a living book. All scripture is God-breathed. It's useful for doing all these things so that we're equipped to teach those we teach, whether we're parents, youth leaders, growth group leaders. I've only ever once bought a diamond. I ever once gone into a diamond shop and bought one. It was for a ring for Mim when we went on a wonderful holiday quite a long time ago to South Africa before children came along. We thought it would be good to have a great holiday before children came along. She has it on her right hand, if you're interested, which ring it is. But when you go to buy a diamond, the diamond person is there to show off the diamond, aren't they? They get out the light. And they get out one of those, you know, funny sort of eyepiece things that you're supposed to look at the diamond with. And they get a bit of black cloth and they put the diamond on the black cloth. All the attention is on the diamond. The preacher's job is not to bring the Bible to life. It's already alive. The preacher's job is to get our attention onto the diamond so that we can see the beauty of God's Son, Jesus Christ, and treasure him. Value him. But we are to be taken up close, like with that little eyepiece, in close, to see what the words of the Bible say. Because the life of God is not in me. It's not in you. It's in these words. They are God breathed. This is no dead book, because it is not about a dead God. Now, what does it mean for me to take us up close? For any preacher to take us up close to the words of the Bible, it means that we need to understand what the words say. In other words, God's speaking is not in the feeling that I might create, or the stories that I might tell, or the jokes that I might tell, or how good or bad I might be at keeping your attention. The life of God is in these words. And my job is to take that thing that gets you to look at the diamond to see the life of God in these words. But you're not to be distracted or to look at that little eyepiece and say, oh, that's a wonderful eyepiece you've got there, diamond seller. It's a wonderful way that you're showing us the context. It's a wonderful way in which you're helping us. No, our attention is to be the words. So easy, isn't it, for us to be distracted away from the diamond by the process of being shown the diamond. So easy to be distracted away from the person who we are to be doing business with, the Lord Jesus Christ. See, I can talk about Greek and Hebrew, but that's irrelevant. I can give a nice illustration or a joke. That's irrelevant. What matters is, am I helping us into the words of God's living book? Now, what does this mean? Well, it means that our emphasis Sunday by Sunday is to be expository preaching. What does that mean? It's the kind of preaching that takes us to the words and helps us to understand the words, because that's where God's breath, God's spirit, speaks to us infallibly. He doesn't speak infallibly through me, you know that. He speaks infallibly to us through the words of Scripture. Now, this doesn't mean that other biblical styles of preaching are off limits. Thematic preaching, you take a topic and you preach that topic. Peter did that on the day of Pentecost, did he not? His one theme was Jesus is the Christ, and he used lots of scriptures to prove that. Neither does it mean that evangelistic preaching, which never mentions the Bible, is unbiblical, because that's what Paul did in Athens and Lystra. He preached the truth of the scriptures using their poets. But the foundation of a church is always to be expository preaching, working through a book of the Bible so that we can understand the context, we can understand the words, because in the meaning of the words is the life of God. I cannot bring the Bible to life. It's already alive. But I wonder, do we come listening, thinking that that's where the life is? That's what will grab our attention. That's what will bring people from death to new life. The living word of God. That's what will nourish us and make us grow as Christians. The living word of God. Spurgeon, when asked how did he defend the Bible, said this: defend the Bible? I would soon defend a lion. Unchain it, and it will defend itself. Is to preach the word, because this book is breathed out by God. Secondly, why else should we preach the word? Because Jesus Christ will appear to judge. Have a look at chapter 4, verse 1. I think you'd be challenged to find a more weighty command in the New Testament in the way that Paul gives it weight. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this command, this charge, Timothy: preach the word. We can't be in any doubt about the seriousness of this, can we? Paul is saying he's commanding Timothy to preach, authoritatively declare the Bible on the authority of God and of Jesus Christ as judge. He's saying there is coming a day when Christ will return and he will speak, and all the dead and all the living, each and every one of us here, will stand before him and we will be judged. And that is why Timothy is to preach. Preach when people want to hear and don't want to hear. Preach in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. He's to prepare himself, prepared to speak with the judgment day in mind. And just as he has been corrected by this word, he is to correct others. Just as he has been rebuked by this word, he is to rebuke others. Just as he has been taught and trained and encouraged by this word, he's to do that for others. And eternal destinies are at stake in view of that day of judgment, says Paul. Back to the diamond. I hope it's a helpful illustration. I hope it's taking us to this text. Just like the person who brings out the diamond puts this black bit of velvet. It's dark, yes, but it shows the diamond off far more brightly. So the good news of Jesus Christ and the love of God cannot be seen without the dark clouds of judgment being in mind for the preacher and those who are hearing what he is saying. We are always to preach judgment, not because that is what is precious, but because that shows what is precious, that Jesus Christ took our judgment in his body on the tree so that we might not face judgment. And I don't like preaching about judgment. I guess you don't like hearing about judgment. But Paul commands Timothy, in the view of judgment, preach. Because every time the Bible is preached, eternal destinies are at stake. So can I ask us all here this morning, were you to die tonight, would you go to heaven? Are you certain that you would go to heaven? Because the good news of God is that you can trust in Jesus Christ, turning away from a life lived for yourself so that you can be sure, yes, if I were to die tonight, I would be in glory with Jesus. I long for his appearing. I'm looking forward to seeing him. I will be there. But maybe there are some here this morning, if you were to die tonight, would not be in heaven. You would be in hell. And that is the truth. It's not just the words that I'm saying for this book that I'm interpreting from my perspective. It's Jesus Christ's teaching. And that's why he commands his preachers to preach with that day in mind. So what does that mean? Well, I don't think it means we can never have a laugh during a sermon. We need to rest every now and again. I don't think it means that the preacher should rant about judgment, as if, you know, here's the black cloth. Can you not see the black cloth? Black cloth. The black cloth's really important, rather than showing people the diamond. But you can't see the diamond without the dark clouds or the black cloth which show it off. People who just say God loves you will not convert people, because God only loves those who've put their faith in Jesus Christ and have fled the wrath to come by trusting in Jesus. But surely it means, at the very least, and you'll know that perhaps as a personality I lean more this direction, we should be serious. We should be emotional. Can a preacher talk about hell and Jesus taking our punishment and the need for each and every person to repent and believe without seriousness, without emotion? Well, to do so would be a contradiction, would it not? And Paul, all his life, has kept this judgment day in mind. Have a look at verse 6. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Like a boxer, he's kept in mind the victory belt. Like a marathon runner, he's kept in mind the gold on the podium. Like a security guard, he has kept the treasure, guarded it with his life. And so verse 8, now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. He's looking forward to that day, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. So as a preacher, any Bible preacher is to remind all Christians that we're not to live for tomorrow, or next week, or next month, or even the rest of our lives, where to live for that day. That day when we will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're to long for that day, to love that day. Do you love the idea that Jesus will return to judge? Do you know that on that day, he will welcome you into his kingdom? That all suffering and grief and loss will end. And we will be with our Lord forever. Do you long for that day? Jesus Christ will appear to judge. And then finally, why are we to preach the word? Because people, like you and me, prefer false teachers. Much more briefly, have a look at verse 3. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine or healthy teaching. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. It's a wonderful picture, that, isn't it, of somehow turning your ear away from the truth. It's what we're all like, because we all have lusts. It's the word that Paul uses. See, the preaching of Jesus and Paul didn't fit with people's lusts, their desires. It counteracts those things, doesn't it? So what people do is they will find preachers and teachers who will not be so challenging. People will find preachers who will teach that it doesn't matter who we sleep with. People will gather people around them who teach that it doesn't matter what we do with our time and our money. That we can't really be certain that Jesus said the things that are recorded in the New Testament. That there is really no judgment to come. That people will gather preachers who will say everyone goes to heaven. God forgives everyone. But it's a myth. It's not true. It's just more comfortable. Be a bit like Back to the Diamond Person, okay? It would be a bit like them shining the light. Rather than shining the light on the diamond to show what this treasure of Jesus Christ is like, they shine their light in our eyes. So that we get out of the habit of looking at the Bible words where God's life is. And they shine the light, or we like aspects of what preachers say or do that wow us. We think, what a great sermon. Rather than what a great saviour. We think, what learning. Rather than the wisdom of Christ. We think, what power of personality. Rather than in Jesus, there is the power of God. No, the preacher's job is to shine the light in whatever way they can on one person. Which means that as we gather Sunday by Sunday, just to sort of welcome you into my world, okay, just for a moment, we have to think about the skeptical visitor who's come to church for the first time in their life and they think it's all a load of rubbish. They need to hear something which challenges that mindset. There's people coming in Sunday by Sunday who all they've heard all their lives are false teachers. They've never heard that forgiveness is necessary for them in Jesus Christ, that these are eternal realities. And then there's people who were born 80 years ago, who grew up in a very, very different society, where Christianity was just part of the culture. Whereas now, 12% of adults know the Nativity story. Just say that again. Only 12% of adults know the Nativity story. And then there are teenagers coming in who are hearing from school that you can't believe the Bible. And they're learning philosophy, which tells them that science has disproved all these things. And then there's people of we're coming in, we've had a tough week, and we need to hear the encouraging, grace-filled message. So we can't just hear judgment, which plunges us back under condemnation, even though the passage may well be emphasizing condemnation. We need to be reminded that in trusting in Jesus Christ, we have a secure and eternal future. Can we do all that in 15 minutes? 20 minutes? I don't think we can. Maybe we can. But is this serious enough to take 22 minutes? Or 25 minutes? See, Jesus was a preacher. He commands the church to have leaders who are preachers of the Bible. And only this book is inspired by God and alive. Not TV programs, not visual aids, not iPads, not iPhones, not illustrations, not stories, not jokes. Yes, people read less, but in the first century, Jesus said, it is written. In a society where literacy rates were 10%. And the apostles commanded the reading of the Bible. Yes, we've discovered much about how we learn, but science assumes that people are just animals, not eternal souls facing God's judgment. Yes, we live in consumer culture where we can get what we want when we want, and we just buy. But Jesus, God's King, comes into the world and says, repent. Repent. Turn away from living for yourself. You are not God. You are to obey and serve God. Yes, preaching seems weak and foolish. Like the one who preached perfectly and was despised and rejected and crucified. Looks weak. Looks foolish, doesn't it? But it's actually the power of God and the wisdom of God. You see, why has God chosen preaching the Bible? Because we need God to preach the Bible. What we need most of all when we preach the Bible, what I need most of all, what you need most of all, is God. God the Holy Spirit, to bring us to life, to keep us alive. You see, Jesus Christ, the crucified one, was a preacher. And he was also God. So we need to follow what he has commanded. Now let's just pray as we close. I know I've gone slightly over. We need to think about whether that matters as much as sometimes we fear it does. Father, we praise you and thank you for your word. We thank you that it is a living book. And Father, we do pray that you might help all of us who preach here, all of us who listen, to believe the right things about preaching the word. Help us to be more like Jesus in our preaching. Help us to be heeding his commands and warnings in our listening. So that each and every one of us here will be those who long for his appearing, because we are right with God, forgiven by Jesus, looking forward to sharing eternity with him. Amen.